welcome back, everyone, to the Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org, or you can just go to the main site at www.remnantofgod.org and click the Contact Us link on the main page. It's up on the right-hand corner. If you like copies of today's program, click the Antique Radios on the main page of the website and surf to the archives from that page, or you can just simply go to the audio section of the main menu and get them from there. You can listen online to past programs, download MP3s, or you can order CDs of the program. You can also get copies of these broadcasts on Pastor Sessler's website at lightministries.com, and plus a lot of other very pertinent information for the end-time Christian, one that wants to please the Lord God. So, but let's get back to what you were talking about just before the break, brother.
Yes, the last text that we quoted was 1 Peter chapter 2, mm-hmm. verses 21 and 22, where Peter said that Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter brought out the fact that Christ was able to live without committing sin, and he left us this example that we should follow in his steps. So since Christ kept all of his Father's commandments, if we would allow him to live in us by faith, then we would also be keeping all of God's commandments. And this keeping of God's law through faith, allowing Christ to live in you, is also called in the Scriptures being sanctified through the Spirit, and this is the true hope and goal of every true Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23 and 26 to 29, "And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he, or Christ, reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." So Paul experienced this process of sanctification. In other words, of dying to self, allowing Christ to live in him, and then doing the will of God in his own life.
Mm.
And he taught that to others, so that they may present every man perfect in Christ. And this keeping of all 10 of God's commandments, of course, cannot be accomplished in our own strength. This law can be kept only through the one who alone is good, and that is God. If there is ever to be any good in us, it is only because we have God working in us. And if God is working in us, then every one of his commandments can be kept perfectly. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
But when we allow God to work in us through Jesus, then there will be no sin that together we could not overcome. Remember Philippians 4:13. This is a promise that you should memorize. It is, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me."
Mm.
It didn't say you could do some things.
Yeah. Amen.
It didn't say that you could overcome all sins but these few.
Mm-hmm.
It says that you could do all things, not by yourself, but through Christ, which strengthens you. Christ talked about being yoked together with him. And that brings up the picture during that particular time in Bible history. You had two oxen that would be used to plow a field.
Mm-hmm.
And you could put a rope around the necks of the oxen, and as they pulled, the rope would dig into their shoulders, and it would be extremely painful. But they had what was called a yoke, and this yoke was made of wood, and it was such that it would go around the shoulders and the neck of the ox.
Uh-huh.
And so it would be something that would fit down with a hole in the middle for their neck.
Yeah.
And the two boards would be on each shoulder, and of course two oxen would be tied together that way. And then it was easy for them to push against the wood, and it would not cut into their shoulders like a rope would, and they were able to or push forward. And if we're yoked together with Christ, then we can push together with him forward and advance and overcome the obstacle of the sin that so easily besets us. But Christ isn't going to do all the work for us.
No.
If we stand still and Christ goes forward, then what happens when one ox stands still and the other one pushes forward? You go in a circle.
Yeah.
And you get nowhere. If you back up and the other one goes forward, you go in a circle twice as fast.
Yeah.
You'll get nowhere. We have to put forth the effort to overcome sin using the strength and grace that Christ gives us, and we push forward together, hand in hand with him.
And you could actually see it happening in your life when you do that, because when I first started dealing with sin, you know, sometimes you just, it's really difficult, especially when you keep falling and doing it anyway, you know?
Yes.
But then when you decide that you don't want to do it and you just don't want to have any part of it, it becomes easier and easier and easier as time goes on to not sin.
Yes.
Because, you know, you're pushing forward and the Lord's pushing with you.
Yes. Well, sins can become a habit.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, without thinking, you just do it.
Yeah.
But doing good, keeping God's law, can also become a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where God gives us the grace and strength to do so.
Yeah.
You know, in John 11, I was mentioning before, we're yoked together with Christ, and his yoke is heavy? No.
No.
His yoke is easy.
It's not even grievous, 1 John 5:3.
Yes, and the burden on our shoulders is light.
Mm-hmm.
Light, because Christ is bearing it. He just asks us to work in harmony with him in seeking to save us.
Yeah. People make it so hard. They make Christianity appear so difficult, when in fact it's one of the most peaceful and blessed. I mean, it's the only peaceful and blessed, for lack of a better word, religion on earth.
Yes, it is a joy to be able to resist, strength and grace of Christ, those sins that you know are wrong.
Yeah, amen.
It's a joy. And that's, the Bible talks about God's salvation being a joy.
What I like is not having to confess. That's nice. You know, because when you're early Christian, you seem to do that a lot because you seem to fall a lot, you know?
Yes. So when we allow God to work in us through Jesus, there will be no sin which together we could not overcome.
Amen.
And again, what's that verse you're supposed to memorize? Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through Christ.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
When the shed blood of Christ covers us and washes away all of our past sins, Christ's righteousness is by faith imputed to us, making us justified or righteous before God. So then, as we choose to follow Christ, to live in and work through us, his righteousness is by faith imparted to us and we can then do the works of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. In other words, it's placed on our account in forgiving all of our past sins. And his righteousness is imparted to us or given to us so that we can now keep God's law instead of continuing to break it.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ's righteousness is put on our account and then given to us all along this pathway of salvation, justification and sanctification. That's why in Jeremiah 23:6, Jesus is called the Lord our righteousness. And this is because he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as we're told in Isaiah 61:10. So it is by faith in God working in us and our moment-by-moment choice to work in harmony with his will, or in other words, combining faith and works together, that we become doers of his law and remain righteous or justified. I'm going to bring out another point. The law is so holy that the standard it holds out before us is greater than any one of us can attain to in our own strength. Perfect obedience can only be accomplished through God's divine power.
Yeah, amen.
Divine power alone, without our choice to act in harmony with it, will accomplish nothing.
No.
It's just like the picture of the yoke. Being yoked together with Christ, if we don't put any effort to push forward, then nothing is accomplished.
No. Stagnant. Just sit there and, like you said, spinning in circles.
Exactly. That's why James tells us in James chapter 2, verses 17, 22, and 26, he says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Seest thou how faith wrought with his, or with Abraham's works, and by works was faith made perfect? For as the body without the spirit is dead, even so faith without works is dead also."
Mm-hmm.
And God will not overcome sin for us without our help. We can exercise all the faith in the world, but faith alone will not enable us to keep all of God's commandments. We must act in harmony with our faith. Our faith must become active. It must become alive, not remain inactive and dead. We must choose to be a follower of God and no longer yield ourselves to breaking God's law and committing sin. So now the question comes, is it possible to not yield and give in to sin, but say no?
But say no to what?
Is it possible not to yield to sin, but to say no to sin and resist it?
I wouldn't think.
Well, let's go to God's Word. This is Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading several verses out of here, verses 1 to 2, and then verse 6, verse 11 to 14, and then verse 16 to 23.
Okay.
And I urge you to read the whole chapter. It's important. But Paul brings out this very point about the possibility of not yielding to sin. He goes, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" So Paul asks the question, shall we just continue sinning after we've accepted Christ as our Savior so that we can have more grace?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Now there's the key. We're to be dead to sin. In other words, when sin raises its head and wants to live in us, we're to be dead to it. We're to have no response whatsoever in giving into it.
Amen.
So he says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Knowing this," this is verse 6, "that our old man is crucified with him," or with Christ, "that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And then verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he makes this command, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Paul command all of the Christians in this new covenant period? His command is, let not sin continue to reign in your body. Don't obey sin any longer. But what comes from the pulpits of the majority of churches today?
Yeah, you could be saved in your sin.
Yeah, you could be saved in your sins. Christ forgives you from present, from past, present, and future sinning. So there's nothing you have to do. Just continue living the life you were living before you became Christian.
Yeah, guaranteed heaven. Kind of like that that one theology of some of our neighbors, if you will, that state, once saved, always saved.
Yes, but that's not taught in the Scriptures.
No.
That is a doctrine of men. So Paul says here, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And then he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. So Paul brings up the aspect that we have a choice to make. When we're faced with God's law saying, do not steal, and we have a desire inside to steal, what are we to do with that desire? Are we to give in to it? Are we to yield to it?
Mm-mm. No.
Well, Paul says here that we're not to yield to that desire to sin, but we're to yield ourselves to God. So instead of yielding to steal, we would be yielding to God and resisting the urge to steal. And we can't do this in our strength, but God won't do it without our help.
So rephrasing the question that you asked earlier, because I'm not even sure if I understood it correctly, but
I've said it as clear as I should have.
Okay.
When we're faced with sin, are we to give in to it or are we to resist it?
We're to resist it.
Paul says that we're to resist it. And he says that God will give us all the strength and grace that we need to overcome. So our faith would then become an active faith. It would be a faith that is alive, a faith that is working. So back to Romans. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then he makes a promise. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Amen. Amen.
Paul says that if we yield ourselves to do the will of God and resist the clamors of our fallen nature to commit sin, that sin will not have dominion over us. Praise God.
Amen.
We now can be freed from the bondage that sin has held us in for so long. And that freedom from bondage is found in Jesus Christ. But Paul says, sin shall not have a dominion over you. And then verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So Paul then brings up the fact that if we yield ourselves to commit sin, then we become the servants of sin. And the servants of sin do not have eternal life.
No.
But if we yield ourselves or choose to follow God and resist sin, then our obedience will bring unto us righteousness, and righteousness will bring eternal life. So Paul continues. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So our obedience must come from a heart that's full of love to God. Because if our obedience comes just because we know it's the right way, but we're really not wanting to obey to show our love for God. In other words, we want to obey so we get a reward.
Yeah. Kind of like fire insurance.
Correct, correct. Then it's not going to deliver us. But if we obey from the heart out of love for God, the truth which was delivered us, then we will be set free.
Amen.
But Paul then continues and says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. For as ye have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit, or what type of actions, had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. So what is at the end of the race that we as Christians are running? It is everlasting life. But how do we reach there? It is a step-by-step forward process in overcoming sin through the grace and strength of God that's working in us.
Amen.
If we try to run the race alone, we'll never make it.
No. Nope.
If we allow God to run the race for us, we'll never make it either, because we'll just keep going in circles.
Yep.
But when we walk hand in hand with Christ, that is when we can make it to the end of the race and obtain everlasting life. Paul says, in closing here in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, so if we continue to live in sin, then we will not be saved. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as by faith we receive the Lord Jesus, and we yield our lives unto Him, He then lives out His perfect law through us, and we become doers of righteousness and bear the fruit of holiness. Now, Christ did not come to save us in our sins, but from our sins, as we're told in Matthew 1:21. So the salvation that Christ brings us is not just release from the penalty of sin, having our sins forgiven, but it is victory over sin itself. In Galatians 3:13, Paul says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from sin and death. And this He has done by being made a curse for us. So we can be freed from all necessity of sinning, but not from the necessity of keeping God's law.
Mm, amen.
Remember, Paul told us in Romans 6 that sin will not have dominion over you. And this is possible if you will only accept Christ in truth as your Savior, yielding your hearts to do His will, allowing Him to live in and through you, and then you can be a follower of God, a child of the Heavenly King. But if you choose to sin, then you are not a follower of God, but a follower of the devil and children of Satan. Now that may be hard to understand, but in 1 John chapter 3, verses 3 to 10, that is exactly what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Paul mentioned in Romans 6 that who we yield ourselves servants to obey, then His servants we are to whom we obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And John tells us that he that committeth sin is of the devil, not of God. So the choice is yours. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Joshua 24:15, that's what Joshua asked the children of Israel. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve, whether God or whether the devil. In 1 Kings 18:21, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. So may we choose to yield ourselves completely unto God, allowing Christ to dwell and rule within us, and thus be a doer of His word and not a hearer only.
Amen.
He continued to choose to serve Him and not self each moment of each day is my prayer.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for being here again. I pray everyone was blessed by this broadcast. I know I was. Please try to catch us again next week. And for those that can't, you can always go to remnantofgod.org, and you can get the audios from there, or lightministries.com. You can get them from there as well. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry saying, until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian He created you to be. God bless.